and even parts of the Alabama game were kind of slow. Tonight, the way they rushed the passer, there's no way that looks slow to him this evening. Absolutely no way.
No doubt, no doubt. I think their linebackers were focused on him the entire game.
Oh, yeah. And that's the way Tennessee's next two opponents, and I say two opponents, will play them, because they will beat Vanderbilt. And then in their bowl game, if I'm playing Tennessee, I'm doing what Missouri did tonight, if I have the manpower to do that. I keep them in front of me.
No doubt. I'll tell you one more thing, Tone, then I'll get off. I'm thankful for two things. And it's Thanksgiving week. I'm thankful that I never have to watch Devron Young return a kick or Justin Coleman play a slot receiver.
Thank you. That's really a kind of a warp, I guess, different strokes for different folks. Let's go back to our phones. People are harsh, Dubsy, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I know that the coaches have been really pleased with Justin Coleman for the most part this year, and the job that he's done as that nickel back. He definitely looked bad on that long touchdown pass, and he's gotten burned a couple of times, but I think I think he's had a good career. Heck, Cam Sutton gave up a touchdown.
Sure
today,
he did.
So.
But everybody says he's great. That's not fair. I mean, everybody gives up plays.
Well, the thing about Mizzou is that, you know, they're always with four wide receivers at least, sometimes five, so you're going to be in man-to-man situations. And, you know, Coleman had a lot of pass breakups tonight too, but everybody's going to remember the one he gave up.
Which is the nature of that position. It might be the toughest thing to do in sports. One word about the way we roll here, because I think we have people calling that aren't familiar with what we do, because we've had some folks call and hang up. The way this works is, you'll be locked in when you hear our voice on hold coming through your telephone. That means we're coming to you momentarily. So as you call 865-200-5402, we'd love to talk with you about tonight's Tennessee loss to Missouri in what was a rather, in my mind, sobering and deflating game. A yardstick game, and the program at this point in time still doesn't measure up. That's all. I don't know what else you could say. Everybody wants somebody to blame. They want to take a shot at this person or that person. You know, if anything, tonight Tennessee left some plays on the field, had some opportunities. Is it a different game if Malone makes that catch there and you don't see the momentum swing that you saw?
Well, let's. I'd like to break down. Maybe you did it before I got
go
here.
Ahead.
The Butch's decision to challenge that last onside kick.
Go
moment.
Ahead. You. That's what we're here for.
What's happening there? Because usually in those situations, when a head coach challenges, he gets word from somebody upstairs that, "Hey, you need to challenge this." Did that happen? Did Butch see something, you know, with his own eyes that he felt like he needed a challenge? Or was he so desperate that he thought that this was his last chance to win the game, even though it was unlikely he had to, you know, take a chance? Maybe the SEC ref upstairs will botch the review process, because he shouldn't have felt that way. If he holds on to that timeout, he's going to get the ball back with 40 or 50 seconds. Granted, it's a long shot, no timeouts, probably a long field, but it's better than no chance, which is what he gave himself.
We'll be going to Twitter here momentarily. That's Sean said earlier before you walked in, about an hour or so ago, it's one of the things, I think it's the first thing out of his mouth was, that's just that type of thing there. You got to give yourself a chance.
That was just a bad call. I mean, there's no sugarcoating. It was
Tony?
A bonehead.
Go ahead, Shawnee.
Well, one thing I've noticed, that call fits right into it. Butch Jones often talks about he doesn't like a team that goes up and down and gets emotional. He likes a team that's steady. But I've noticed over the 2 years that he lets his emotions get to him a little bit when controlling the game. And I believe that was a call right there, that if he was on an even keel, he would have let that go. There have been a number of times where I think he kind of gets a little hot-headed and then make some irrational decisions. I'm not faulting him for it, but I think that's a thing that other people should take notice in the future.
Fact, well, it's just a weird thing with Butch where it's he's so self-contradictory at times. He's a new age coach. He likes to run the spread with spread it out with a mobile quarterback, and we're going to run some fake kicks and stuff like that. But then, you know, end of the first half, it's just ultra conservative. It drives you nuts, doesn't it? It's very inconsistent.
Which is what Sean said earlier, and I miss what Sean was saying. I thought he was taking him to task for not running plays, or, you know, not going for the
being a little more aggressive.
Going for it, right? Yeah. Actually, what Sean was saying was, I wish he would have a modus operandi and stick to it. He's all over the board. One week he's doing that. Mm-hmm. One week he's calling timeouts. But truthfully, tonight I think it was the right thing to do. That's just me. Let's go back to our phones. The onside kick call. All you're doing there is compounding the fact that you got screwed by the refs the first time. The second time, the ball went 9.5 yards. It wasn't even close.
No, it was.
It wasn't even.
There, you had no chance of winning that.
You had zero
chance. And somebody should have let him know upstairs.
You had zero chance, Butch.
Hold on to that timeout. Our only chance is to try and stop him on three, use the timeouts, and get the ball back.
Back to the phones we go. Hello, you're on the Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
Yeah, this is B from Middle Tennessee.
Hey, great to hear from you.
I just wanted to clear a few things up on the onside kick there.
Go ahead.
The first time they onside kicked it, the referee throws the flag for offside. There's no question he's throwing a flag there for offside. First touching is only beanbagged. It is not a flag. First touching is beanbagged just as a spot. And that's all it is beanbagged for. It's not a penalty. It's an option for the receiving team to take the ball there or to take the ball at the end of the result of the play. It's kind of like when they fumble the ball, how they beanbag it in case there's a loose ball foul. That way they go back from the beanbag and penalize. If you pay attention the second time, whenever the ball only went 9.5 yards, there's no flag in that instance because they just throw the beanbag. I just wanted to clear that up for Vol Nation. I know everybody's calling in and talking about that, but the referee definitely called him when he threw the flag. He was definitely calling offside. Whether somebody was offside or not, I do not know. A few people have tweeted out that the kicker's foot was offside, and offside penalties do not apply to the kicker or the holder. They only apply to the other 10 guys who are arrested. I just wanted to clear that up.
That's great stuff. Let me ask you, are you an official?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, there's so many intricacies there, and, you know, even as much football as we all watch, there's just so many moving parts. I really do appreciate you sharing that with us. And so one more time, just so people, because it's kind of early in the morning here, and people are walking away from that game, and they're exhausted tonight, and we're all emotional, you're telling me that on the front end of that play, when the flag was blown, the initial flag had to be for some sort of offside infraction
on
the kicking team, because if it was illegal touching, the only thing that's thrown there is a beanbag and not a flag.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. Very good. So if there's a flag on the field, that means there had to be an offside call of some kind, which is why I guess it would have been Chris Fowler kept insisting to Kirk Herbstreit, because Kirk Herbstreit kept saying, but they didn't call offsides. But
well,
you're saying,
the flag as soon
you're
as the
saying
ball was
it's implied. You're saying that he doesn't have to call it because it's implied when there's a flag on the ground.
Yes, and it's also
okay.
It's also only the 10 non-kickers. The kicker is the only one to have any part of his body beyond the restraining line the ball's kicked.
Now
let me ask. The 10 players have to be behind the line.
Let me ask you this: when we say he still should have announced it to the people in the stadium, most people don't have your background. Do you agree that he should have announced in the stadium, first of all, there was an offside call on the kicking team, but we're now checking to see if the receiving team touched the ball before it went 10 yards in the ensuing recovery? Should he have said that?
You know, it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter because the coach from Missouri is always going to have the option after the review to go back and take the penalty or not take the penalty. it incites the fans a little bit, makes them, you know, boo a little bit more, stuff like that. But in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, whenever they go back and review it, and there was, you know, first touching, then it's gonna, they're going to take the penalty anyway.
Right, but should he have announced it? That's not what I asked you. Should he have announced it?
You know, it's hard to say whether he should have or not. It really doesn't matter, is what I'm saying. You know, if he announces it or not, he probably could have. That have kept a little heat off of him.
Yeah, that's my point.
In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. So, you know, it would have been nice if he would have let the fans know, because obviously nobody else knows.
No, even Kirk Herbstreit didn't know. Right, which is,
yeah, exactly.
Which is interesting.
Most of the guys who even announced, they don't know the rules, you know. But that's something that, you know, pretty much every official is going to know that there's no flag for first touching. There's only a beanbag.
That's good stuff. All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you being out there. Anything else for us tonight?
No, just go Vols, and let's get Vandy next week.
Yeah, it'll happen. Thank you, my friend. That's good stuff right there. I appreciate that you're out there, and any time that you want to call and correct or jump in, whatever you want to hear, whatever you want to say. Hey, Cinco, thanks for giving me an hour, man. I know you've got to get up. You got to play in the praise band in the morning. And I praise God that you sat with me for an hour tonight, brother. Give me a final thought here.
Well, I hope people don't. I've heard a lot of disappointment and some angst with all this, but I really think that what you saw is a team that was, whether we want to believe it or not, I believe they were outmanned. They were certainly out-experienced, and you know, they start the game with three of their leaders, being their center, their safety, and their middle linebacker, not on the field. And they played as well as they could. And, in my opinion, the better team won. And that's okay. We've still got an opportunity to play a not so great Vanderbilt team to go 6-6 into a bowl game. And I think that was almost everybody's goal at the start of the season. So it would have been nice to win today. But the train keeps on rolling, and we'll hope for a victory next week. I appreciate you and Russell having me, and you guys have a great rest of the show.
Cinco, love you. Thank you. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in. Dubsy said, somebody said in that case, why would they go and review it? Somebody on Twitter just said a second ago if what that official was saying, but that's exactly why they went and reviewed it, right?
I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more confused I get. But the bottom line is that we have photographic evidence that it wasn't offsides. It was a bad call. The officials blew it. However they went and announced it, however they got from A to B, the bottom line is they blew the call.
865-200-5402. I want to remind you, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, about the business of providing exceptional service at unbeatable prices. And I was talking with Randy Dalton earlier tonight. He told me, he said, Tony, he said, we're blowing through a record year. Thank you so much for helping us do that right out of little tiny, ladies and gentlemen, Granger County, Tennessee. Absolutely rocking your world at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And here's the thing about it. They are a Prince Master Distributor, one of only a handful of a few Prince Hydraulic Master Distributors in the nation, and sell over 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders every 6 or so months now these days. I mean, they're blowing it out there. And they have, when it comes to their hydraulic cylinders, they have, whether you're hunting something that's standard or you need something custom built for you, they'll do it for you. And their warehouse and their operation is really impressive at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Go online, daltonhydraulic.com, see what I'm talking about. Serving you worldwide from beautiful Granger County, Tennessee, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Let's go back to the phones and grab another call here and see who we can get on here next. Hello and welcome. Welcome to the program.
Boss man, what's going on tonight?
Hey, what's up? Is this B.O.B.?
Got it, Sheep. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, a couple thoughts for you guys. Offensively, I'll tell you one thing I thought was really interesting tonight. For the first time all season, and I don't know why it took until now, I was impressed by the fact offensively from a schematic standpoint, we kept tight ends and running backs available to help Chip Block or help Jacob Gillen in particular with the rush off the end in the passing game. We talked about that earlier in the year and never saw it. Now we're seeing it. But what's interesting, Tony, is when that happens, and I know you know this, you got to be careful about how you talk about it, but when that happens, Tony, it limits your ability to go vertical.
Correct.
Because it limits the number of receivers you can actually put in the pattern and be effective. And that's why we've now seen that keeping that running back or that tight end can be a blessing, because it can give your quarterback a little bit more time. But the curse is you've got legitimately two receivers in the pattern. That's really it.
And what really hurts is when you don't have a Josh Smith on the field and you don't have a Marquez North on the field who you can play jump ball with, then now you're really up against it. And, you know, as it turns out, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul tonight. You're playing from behind if you're Tennessee, because Missouri's pass rush, after seeing them tonight in Neyland Stadium, they're that good. I mean, that's why they're about to win the East again. They're impressive.
Oh, Tony, their defensive line won that game, period. That was the best unit
period.
On the bottom on the field.
Period.
And what was interesting, though, I'm glad to see the scheme from that standpoint, as limiting as it is. What I was frustrated by, maybe you guys can shed some light on this for me. You know, I've always thought the best way to beat a good upfield rush in a defensive front is to either run right at it between the tackles or utilize a middle screen game with your running backs and your tight end. And I felt like the scheme we were employing tonight was to get the ball as far out on the perimeter to the edge of the field as possible and try to let somebody make a play. And I don't think it worked. I think it was a miscalculation.
Yeah, I don't think they had a real great night in your offensive brain trust this evening. I would say that's probably true. And I don't understand it either. But again, here's the thing that's funny about tonight's game. We say all that. Boy, Hurd, for playing against that thick zone defense that he played against tonight, really created some space at times, didn't he? And Russell's take is that Hurd didn't get the ball enough. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. He was totally underutilized in that offense. You know, if you go back and look at what Georgia did effectively against Missouri, they ran at him. Now, granted, the way that they run out of a pro set and I formation, even one back, is totally different from the way Tennessee does it with a quarterback under center as opposed to the shotgun. But in order to beat a team like that, you've got to be able to run right at them, because when you get past the first four, then you're popping it and you're getting upfield and you're getting big chunks of yards at a time. You're not going to get that running to the outside, frankly, with receivers that aren't very good blocking.
Well, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what they do from this game in the future when they're in a spot like this. Do they adjust? What they learn from it? How much of this is even going to carry over as you build your program? I mean, you were really up against it tonight, Bill. When you think about everything that went on out there tonight, first of all, you don't have AJ. You don't have the back part of your defense in the secondary there in Randolph, who you're used to having. Then your center gets hurt, and you don't have him. So now you're hampered in the middle of the field the other way. And yet you still hang in there. You have the game tied at half. You don't really have a great night, as you say, with your offensive game plan. But you still had an opportunity in the second half, if you make a couple of plays, to maybe get out of there and steal a win in your building. That game was there, man, in the fourth quarter. Everything that you said is true, but the game was still there.
Well, and you mentioned the suspension. Here's what I thought was very interesting, and I don't know exactly what they're doing from a schematic standpoint. Sit down in and down out, and you can't see it all on TV. Todd Kelly Jr. didn't get burned downfield on a single pass in the first half, period. They didn't call his name, but he didn't get beat. And Johnson filling in middle linebacker, even though he didn't have any stellar tackles, it didn't look like to me he ever got isolated on a running back or a tight end in the formation. He got the ball thrown at him. So even though they may have been trailing plays and lending support, you didn't see those two guys get beat outright. And so maybe that's a win you take out from the defensive side. But here's the thing I want to leave you with, because nobody's talked about this. I think this is really important moving forward, and it won't make any difference against Vanderbilt. Could in a bowl game, though, and it will definitely make a difference moving forward. Tony, nobody's talking about this freshman field goal kicker we've got, who's missed one point after, but has since then stroked these field goals, even after he's put in a bad position at South Carolina. I think that kid's going to be a superstar for us for the next 3 years.
No, I thought Tennessee definitely had, particularly the first half, the kicking game was Tennessee's friend. You had Dar nail a punt down inside the one. Of course, the fake field goal was a thing of beauty. So, kicking game was really working in Tennessee's favor in the first half. In the second half, you had a couple of problems there with particularly with Barry, I thought, when he stumbled out of the goal line. That was just out of the end zone. That was a real killer when you thought that he might be able to provide you with some momentum. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. As it is the fifth quarter here this evening, Tennessee falling 29-21 against Missouri, 5-6, and we'll try and get bowl eligible against Vanderbilt. Are we taking this game for granted?
No, it's for granted. Yeah, they're so okay. Far in the tank and in the toilet. And hey, you know, I'm going to contend to you right now. If Malone makes that catch, it's a different game. And I'm not putting it on him.
What was the score at that point? Was it 16-13?
Yeah, it's a game. And then they come down the field and they score.
You would have at least kicked a field goal to tie it up.
It's a game. It's a different deal. It's a different deal entirely. But because if you look at what Mizzou did after that, and I've got the chart somewhere here. Let me dig that up. But as soon as they come down the field, that's when they started to attack our defense. It was right after that they went into that. It was almost like a different mode.
Well, it had to have been deflating for the defense, too. I mean, they've been on the field all night. Offense isn't helping out. And, you know, they're missing their leader, the heart and soul guy, in the middle. And all of a sudden, they start hitting some big plays over the top. Mock gets in a little bit of a rhythm. And, you know, they're on their heels.
Tennessee, yeah, is down 3 there. And then they go down 10. Yep. That 73-yard pass play to Jimmy Hunt. Looking at my chart here. And, you know, it was 1-on-1 coverage. And Tennessee had just made a play on second down. Tennessee seemingly, at times, was able to get some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah,
that Barnett's
a stud.
Is a great player.
Majit's playing.
That is a great.
Well, he's finally healthy.
Well, he really is. That's a really great point by you. 9 sacks now on the year.
Farine's getting
very quietly.
I mean, they've got. Yeah, I mean the defensive line has, defensive front has played the entire. I mean, this game wasn't lost on defense, right? I mean, if Tennessee's offense is playing better, I doubt Mizzou gets to 29.
Absolutely. I about called the score. I picked it, 24-20? I knew it was going to be in the 20s.
You know, we're fixating on the onside kick. Well, they still have to go 50 yards and score a touchdown. They still have to get an
offside. That's not the point.
The 2-point
That's
conversion.
Not the point. The point is, the point is, if Missouri touches a ball before it's time,
to quote the old Paul
Masson commercial,
yeah.
You should not have a whine before it's time. And you should not touch a ball before it goes 10 yards. And when you do that, and the ball squirts through under your pad, and there's some bogus offside call.
I'm just pointing out that we're assuming the improbable.
Let's get Bino in here. I want Bino's thoughts, and then we're going back to the phones. And I want to remind you, this is a Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. In fact, let me play one of these just to keep it official.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
They say you never know. They say that's why we play the game. Well, Missouri has broken a lot of hearts in the last couple of years. Missouri as a football team, when you start looking at what they've done, that's five times now that they've won on the road as a double, not a double digit, but as an underdog. Five times in this stretch of 10 games. That is an impressive number.
Yeah.
To the phones we go. Let's get Bino in here, my cohort, on Friday afternoons as we are from 11 to 1 right here on this channel where you are. I've got Russell Smith of 94.3 FM who's joining today. And we thank him for being here as it's the wee small hours of the morning officially. Bino, how you doing?
Tony, Dusty, glad to be here, even if the result wasn't what we had hoped for.
First thoughts, Bino, lay it on me.
Well, I thought that we played a defense tonight that we were ill-equipped to attack. And not only that, we went above and beyond and helped them with turnovers and penalties. And then, you know, you have to hope when you're playing Missouri that that you catch bad Matty Mock. And we haven't been able to do that in the last two seasons. And, you know, I know all of us were hoping that we had taken a leap rather than a step, but we just haven't. We haven't jumped that far.
Back to the phones we go, and then we'll grab some folks on Twitter. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame. People are calling me soft tonight and other words that I'm not allowed to use. Let's go back to our busy, busy phones here at 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tone, this is Tech Air Spike. How you doing?
Hey, Spikey, what's up, man?
Dubsy, Bino, how you doing?
Good, Spike. Thank you.
Tell you what, Tone, it was a tough one to swallow tonight. The Vols, they played hard, but it was a typical Vol fashion that we fell hard. I think that we obviously could have won the game, but good Matty Mock showed up, just like good Bo showed up, and all the goods show up against the Vols for whatever reason. Matty Mock can 119 yards against Florida, and they had 119 yards in the first quarter against us. I mean, how do you explain that?
Bino, how do you explain that?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that in while he was being a replacement and in this season as well, he's two different guys. He's a guy that can lead his team to a win, and he's a guy that can absolutely throw a game away. And we've just happened to see the good Matty Mock both times.
But you know what, Bino, he couldn't hit the broad side of the barn for pretty much the entire SEC season. And he comes to see us in Knoxville, and he doesn't miss one of those long throws to that guy that I can't even remember his name.
Bud Sasser. What a great name. Tackler Spike. Bud Sasser.
That guy is an absolute robot on the outside.
He really is. And that's another great question about Missouri. You know, that's Doriel Green Beckham, Dubsy, was a five-star player. Doriel Green Beckham was a five-star player, and he smoked his way.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, of course. He's at the halfway house we call the University of Oklahoma, where Lynn Magruder resurfaced after smoking. Well, actually, Lynn Magruder didn't smoke his way out of UT. He sold his way out of UT. He was a horticulture major. We just didn't know about it. And an entrepreneur. He basically had a hemp museum with Be Legit back in the day in the hemp museum. But Tack Air Spike, where do they come up with these wide receivers? And where do they get these defensive linemen? And can I get some of that?
I'll tell you what, they grow these All-American defensive ends on trees in Missouri. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, how do they do this? I mean, honest to God, I thought that we were going to break through it. Tennessee was -6 today.
-6.
And I told my buddies to pump the brakes on because they were like, oh, Tennessee's, they're back. And I was like, Dobbs has yet to face a good defense. And here we go, and they break our backs.
You know, and here's that's such a great point you bring up about them. It was so easy to dismiss them and diminish them coming into the game. And the guys I sat across from, and Russell, I don't know how it was for you this week, but A friend of mine that's a gambler called me today, and he said, I'm playing Missouri. He said, the line's six. He said, that's give it. That, he said, that is a gift.
That is a gift.
Christmas has come early. Yeah, Tech Air Spike. And I said to him, I said, are you sure you want to do that? He said, Tony, you've gotten so sucked in emotionally. He said, 6 points for a team that hasn't lost a game in nine tries on the road?
Straight.
A team that knows how to win on 6 points with no A.J. Johnson, yeah, with no center, with a safety out for a half of the game? He said, think about what we're saying here.
Yeah. I think Missouri, I wasn't wanting to buy in because I thought their schedule was weak and they were unimpressive in some of their wins, but they're certainly better than I had initially thought. But I also think that Tennessee played poorly tonight. I think
they
reverted back to early season form, and they made a ton of mistakes that have been uncharacteristic of the last three games.
They were flat, and the A.J. Johnson deal had a lot to do with it.
Missing their emotional edge.
Yes, they were.
They made critical errors in the kicking game and turnovers.
Yeah, it's not who they've been. And Tech Air Spike, to be honest with you, I think there's also Donnie Tindall's interview with the NCAA on Tuesday had something to do with it. Tech Air Spike.
I'll tell you what, Tony, we were just absolutely cursed in any way you can imagine possible. Every time anything seems to be good here, it goes bad.
Tech Air Spike, I love you. You're my man. Keep
love
fighting.
Love you, Tony. I mean, I just don't get how it can't get better soon.
I'll never forget when you called me, Tech Air Spike, and you, from over there at Tech Air, and you told me that Konzo Martin was on that plane going up to, where was it, Chicago, back in the spring?
I think he was going up there to see the people at Marquette.
Marquette, and I jumped for joy. It was a joyous day in my household.
I think I was doing jumping jacks myself, Tom.
Thank you, Tech Air Spike.
What were you doing when he came back?
I was not a happy camper. Bino, any thoughts on Tech Air Spike, and then I go back to the phones.
Nothing additional, Tony.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And on Twitter, some of the Twitterers, we say, Brad asks, why does everybody play lights out against us? Josh O'Neill says, hey, you're down three. With the ball there, you've got 8 minutes left. That's all you can ask in that game. I mean, from as badly as you've played, as poorly as things have gone, and then bang, bang, they hit a couple plays in the passing game, and it is a completely different football game. Full Butch, please, mouthpiece says, Tennessee is 0-3 now versus Matt Mox. Could possibly go 0-5. How can we go 0-5 against Matt Mox? Is there more Matt
because
Mox?
He's a
sophomore. Damn it. Stop that, Full Butch. We're going to beat them next year. Full Butch, please. We're winning. Bino, are you ready to sign up for that? Are we beating them next year?
Well, Tony, what I did see tonight is if a program like Missouri has an opportunity to win the East 2 years in a row, playing a very similar style to what we play, and building their program around defensive linemen, which what Butch Jones is trying to do, I actually think you can look at Missouri and take some solace from that.
Justin Hanna says, once again, Tennessee is the number one team in America, being just one play away from winning games. The kid says, I'm not giving up, brah, LOL. It's also a game, at least if we try to score some points at the end of the first half. So why won't you acknowledge that, Tony? Bino, where do you fall in the end of the first half, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Tony, I don't mean to waffle here. I can understand both viewpoints. If it were me, I would have taken the timeout after third down to see if I could to get the ball back with more time, see if you could run a couple of plays and make some yardage, draw plays, and go from there. But I understand that Butch felt like his offensive line was getting absolutely destroyed and wanted to go in 13-13. So I understand what he did. I would have done it differently.
you agree with Russell? You, at that point, you just take a couple shots. Is that what you would have done?
Yeah, I would have taken a timeout after third down, gotten the ball back with almost 2 minutes left, tried to run a couple of draw plays or something safe that you don't get your quarterback killed. If you get something out of it, then you attack. If you don't, you let the clock run.
Their Tennessee football Twitter account is twittering some different things, tweeting some different facts. They're calling Vol facts. Here's Vol fact 4, Russell. You ready? True freshman starters on defense is 7. True starters, true freshman starters on offense defense 18. True freshman played 28. Newcomers played 53.
There's no doubt they're young. I mean, it's, if you want to call it an excuse, then it's a legitimate one. It's valid. But, you know, their youth didn't have anything to do with the use of timeouts at the end of the game. And there were several other areas probably too that, you know, the botched, had to burn the first time out. That's something we haven't talked about either. You know, after you
get that's on your quarterback, though. That's not on your head coach. But I understand what you're saying. That's on your quarterback. Yeah. I'm not going to blame
Butch. Maybe it is youth. No,
you've
they're a young team.
You've got a kid at quarterback. I mean, people have to be honest here. You've got a kid at quarterback that we're all ready to crown, and that's great. But he's never been in the spot he was in tonight.
He struggled a little bit. Maybe he's got a big chemistry exam or something coming up Monday. He's a little distracted.
Back to the phones we go. Reed Carringer, who will join us following Bino's departure, probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. Reed said Dobbs had 6 more carries than Hurd tonight. You got to think the staff would get Hurd more touches in that football game if they could do it over. Bino, that is one hard-running son of a gun right there.
He is an absolute man, Tony. And, you know, I worried a little bit about him running too straight up. We don't have any worries with him. He's an SEC running back, first one we've had in a number of years.
Yeah, he's a true talent at running back. To the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's grab another caller. Hello, you're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
Tony, Vito, good to hear your voices tonight.
Good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Well, in a night full of negatives, I'm going to be more negative. Our coach has precisely some zero feel for a game. You've been saying it all year, but he doesn't have any feel whatsoever. That game was there for the taking. We didn't get the ball to our best player in the backfield, not named Josh Dobbs. What are we doing? Dar, for the record, Dar had his best game as a Tennessee Vol tonight. He kicked the hell out of the football tonight. If you have to run and then punt, that's fine. Your defense is playing well, and you start slinging it all in the yards, and then you let one of your freshmen make a huge mistake. I mean, the swinging point of that game was obviously the interception when Josh Malone had it go off his fingertips. It's very frustrating as a Tennessee fan to continually see this from your coaching staff. Tony, they have no feel for the game. I mean, my friends who were sitting next to me were 10 and 12 deep, and they have more feel for the game than those guys do. I mean, they're too conservative. The most unconservative play they ran all night was, I believe, one of 2 touchdowns we scored. And it was a great play. Why didn't they do that game a couple of games ago against Florida when we really needed it? You know?
It's taken an hour and a half for us to go back to Florida. Now we're back to Florida again. Which I love the honesty. The Florida game's still grating at you, isn't it?
Well, hell yes. Why wouldn't it? We should have won that game. What's wrong with still being pissed off about that, Tony? Seriously. This is real time. What's wrong with that?
Take that one to the grave.
I mean, seriously.
Guys, I think there obviously our coaching staff is going to have to improve from a game management standpoint. I think no feel for the game is overly harsh. I don't believe a staff that has no feel for the game runs the fake field goal there. I see some feel for the game. Now, I do believe game management, they have to get a lot better. As far as the way that we attack, and I've tried to be consistent with this, and maybe it's overly apologetic, but until we can whip somebody up front, I'm going to have a hard time judging whether our guys have a real good offensive feel or not. When you get whipped up front basically every play, there's just not a whole lot in the playbook
and
that you can do about that.
And a great example of that.
Are you ready to wait 3 years before we can whip somebody to half the front?
I'm ready to wait until they have the pieces up front. I don't know when that's
going to be a long
now.
Time.
No. I mean, I'm not. They have to recruit those pieces. They have to develop those pieces.
I would agree.
Thus far, they in this year with this offensive line, they haven't had an opportunity to do that.
It's tough to
watch. Next year's a different deal.
Are you going to give them a reprieve next year? Because they won't have the talent that they need next year.
No, I expect to see improvement next year based on who they bring in and based on a year in the weight room for some of the younger guys.
We'll see. I'm very proud of the way Jalen Hurd plays the game of football. I'm very proud of the way a lot of guys on this team, and especially the seniors, have played football and carried themselves at the University of Tennessee. And I hate that their last game at the University of Tennessee as seniors had to be like this, and how to be shrouded in a week full of crap, overshadowed, if you will. Because ultimately, guys, you didn't even talk about the Missouri game on the radio this week until yesterday.
Yep.
Think about that for a minute. You didn't even talk about it. And as I've told you all week, we had no chance from this starting on Monday morning when we all found out that A.J. Johnson had been arrested. We had no chance this week. Our three of our four play callers on offense or defense didn't start this game. We had no chance. As far as Wiseman's concerned, physically, he's not a fall off. He might be an improvement from Crowder, and I think over time we'll see that's an improvement. But he didn't know all the play calls. We looked soft on the offensive line for some reason again, and I will give Missouri their due credit. They're very good, and they have a very, very good coach. Gary Finkel is a top 25 coach in college football. Do you guys agree?
He's young John Reed on Young Guns yesterday was taking some shots at him. Let me tell you, young John Reed, that guy is a hell of a coach. That guy does a nice job. Very quietly. He does a lot with very little there. He doesn't have the resources that many people in this league have. He's not sexy. They don't have a great cachet. What he does do is he consistently wins football games that he should, and he produces All-America type players and puts guys in the pros. That's what he does.
Last thing I'll say, Tony, let's not forget this is the same Gary Finkel. It almost won a national championship with, are you ready for it, Chase Daniel at quarterback. And I'll leave it at that. Have a good night.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. And
hey, Tony.
Go ahead, Bino.
I couldn't agree more that he's a solid football coach. You want to guess what he did in his first 4 years at Missouri?
Oh, I would probably not much because they were a disaster, right?
I'm not sure what the record of the team he took over was. But, he came from Toledo in his first four seasons, 4-7, 5-7, 8-5, and 5-6. They were patient enough to let him develop this program that we see out there right now.
I totally agree. And look, I get the frustration. Everybody's frustrated. Look, I don't think... I don't think Butch Jones is the greatest quote-unquote coach in the world.
Nor do I.
But he's done a lot of good stuff here, and he will continue to. And if we leave him alone, he might just win here. Because it comes down to players. You don't have to be the greatest tactician in the world and, you know, the have the smoothest, suavest feel for it. And back to a point you were making about, and I understand that our last caller is very, very emotional. I get that. But here's the thing, that one point that needs to be brought up. Mike Bajakian was an idiot earlier in the year when you had no offensive line and you had a quarterback in a system that didn't fit him. So there was nothing you could do. You could call whatever you wanted to call, and it wasn't going to work. And then all of a sudden, when Josh Dobbs got put in the game, he got a lot smarter. Now tonight, you played a team that's better than you up front. They're better than you up front. Vegas doesn't get it wrong very much. They got it wrong from the outset on this one. And when they didn't adjust their line after the events and what went down and went on around the program this week, that was a gift to people who were paying attention. That's what that was tonight, to people who gambled.
You know, Tony, you,
go ahead, Bino.
Some big hitters had to get that one wrong, too.
No question.
From 3.5 to 6 today. And you know, America, who doesn't pay real close attention, wasn't loaded on Tennessee. I mean, your average player wasn't playing Tennessee. It was your big players that were playing Tennessee, and why, I don't know.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And let's grab our next caller. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony. How you doing? This is Sean.
Hey,
I'm actually
Sean.
Calling from California.
Oh, great to talk to you, man. Thank you. Really blessed to have you here.
And I just want to give a shout out. You're about to have Reed on, and if that's how I heard from you. I've been listening to you guys for the last few weeks. You guys are doing some amazing work out there. So I appreciate it being all the way out here. I have to hear about California teams that don't know how to follow college football. So, real quick, I just wanted to mention a couple things. A lot of people want to put this on the coaches. I really felt that the coaching is what kept Tennessee in the game tonight. Special teams constantly making plays. After that first big drive by Mizzou, you know, we were pinning them back deep, not allowing big returns, pinning them at the one, and then the defense holding them from there. And I really felt like that kept Tennessee in the ball game. I kind of saw what was going to happen in Ole Miss, how we gave them bad field position in the first half. And then from then on, you know, it kind of steamrolled from there. That almost happened tonight, but, I think Dobbs is a difference maker. You said it earlier. We watched him grow up tonight. He played a really great game. So the offsides, there's no doubt it wasn't an offsides. Refs blew it on that one. And, yeah, I just wanted to say I love the show.
You know, I really appreciate the phone call. And how did you find us, if you don't mind me asking?
I actually found the guys over at RTI, and then I heard about – they had you on as a guest, and you know, one of your plugs, and you know, found the podcast online to be able to, or on my iPod to be able to listen to your post game. So it's great because I haven't been into the Tennessee area in a long time, but I've been a fan for a long time. So first season I've been able to really watch step by step, other than, you know, every other Saturday. So. Glories of modern technology.
And you know, we're also on from 11 to 1 Eastern time, and you can check out the Daily Show anytime you want to, as well as it's available on demand on our app. So appreciate you being there, man. Just click the web button, and there's a whole ton of great stuff there on the app on demand. So thanks for being out there in beautiful California, man. Good to talk to you tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tony. Good show.
All right. Good talking to you. Would either one of you guys like to respond to what he said? And by the way, Russell's on from 4 to 7 Eastern time, who's in studio with me. What did I say?
4 to 7.
Oh, that's Central time. No?
No.
That's 2 to 5. 3 to 6 Eastern time. Beano, stop it. Beano, it's about to be 1 o'clock in the morning, you punkin' clown. And by the way, and he's available at Knox Talk Radio. Beano, before I let you respond to that individual, let me say here that Smartway is presenting portions of tonight's program, and I thank them for doing so. Smartway available online at gosmartway.net. They also have virtual tours available over at Google if you Google Smartway. And check them out because they're located at 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. Smartway is your everything for home store where you're going to pay your way. Knoxville's newest retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones. They have tires. They're adding new product lines constantly. And the way it works is you can buy today, pay in full, or choose 120-day, 6 months, same as cash. Or you can pay the cash price, and within the first 120 days or 6 months, you can choose a lease, purchase, rent to own deal where you're only going to choose the payment amount and frequency, and you can change it anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. So you're basically going to dictate the terms, and then you're going to dictate if you follow the terms or not, and if you want to change the terms, pay less, pay more, whatever it is. But they have several different ways to do it, and again, that's why we say it's the smart way to go, because all on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit that can be used at any time for what you want, when you want, and Professor Smarty will tell you that is the smart way to go. Back to the phones. And by the way, the smart play of the game tonight, guys, what else but the fake field goal? One of the prettiest plays that you will ever see run on a fake field goal. That was a beautiful pass, guys. Just a perfect pass.
Yeah, the way the Ashford guy, he stood back there with the ball up like he's Tom Brady or something and just lofted it, man. It was pretty impressive.
Patrick Ashford.
Maybe they should have gone back to that. Just line up, fake field goal, second and 10 from their own 20.
I'll tell you what, if that kid's on your roster and you have a guy like that, because I guarantee you in practice when they worked on that, I bet you he looks good throwing that ball. It would not scare me to let my holder throw the ball every now and again. Ordinarily, you don't do that. But that kid there, that was impressive, I thought.
Hey, guys, he's now made two huge plays for us. That, and we also launched the snap on the extra point when we tied South Carolina that he went up and got back down on the ground. He's made a couple of huge plays. Usually it's an invisible task, but he's made big plays.
Back to the phones we go. Grab another call here today on your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. All lines currently jammed. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, welcome.
Hey, Tony, Beano, Russ. You guys are my favorites. So this is Trey in Nashville. Now it's Trey in Chicago. So I walk down the street to a bar to watch the Tennessee game. Turns out it's a Missouri alumni bar.
That's nice.
Yeah, yikes. So I'm wearing my Peyton Manning jersey, and I walk right into the storm. But I was pretty excited after that play. You know, I was happy to see the fake field goal and everything. But I did not know what I was in for. It was fun. By the way, first of all, I just want to say it's great to have you guys. I listen to you guys every day. It feels like home, being far away from home here. And man, this one feels rough. I know Missouri is ranked number 20, but this feels, almost as bad as the Florida game. Not quite as bad, but something about it just kind of sticks with me with this game. I feel like we should win at Neyland Stadium on this night. What do you guys think? It's just kind of a really sickening feeling. I don't really care what happens in Memorial Stadium or
No, you should care. We want to go to a bowl game and let's beat the absolute snot out of them.
Yeah, we will. We will.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Tonight's game was a measuring stick game, and we didn't measure up. And that's disappointing because I thought we would measure up. And to be honest with you, I thought Dobbs would be crisper and better than he was. But the truth is, without his two deep threats downfield, it just wasn't going to happen in retrospect against those guys. Because if you'll notice, with a tight end in as much as what we saw tonight, he wasn't even a part of the game, really. So, and as somebody astutely pointed out, I think it was B.O.B. earlier, Tennessee did not attack the middle of the field at all. Everything was on the perimeter tonight. Everything was on the perimeter. And probably what was most emblematic of the night is one of the little reverses they ran to Pig Howard. He dropped the ball, and it looked like he had some running room, which was emblematic, which was emblematic of the type of night it was. It was just one of those. It was that team tonight was lethargic. That's what they were, and they were hungover from what went on, the celebration after Kentucky and the aftermath. They were hungover from that, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have pointed out that you know, AJ is, you know, is deserving All-American or whatever, but a lot of his tackles are downfield. And I think the biggest loss, I saw this on the SEC Network today, was it's not that we're losing A.J. Johnson. It's one, the emotional side, and it's two, you know, he's our signal caller on defense. I don't care if you're throwing in a stud that's a freshman. Like, you take out your signal caller, that's big. And I think it showed there. And even though we lost by a touchdown or whatever tonight, I never really felt like it was that close, you know, after that first drive by Mizzou. Something just kind of, you know, something just wasn't there. It was like I never really felt like the Vols were in control. What do you guys think about as far as your internal feeling of how we were, where we were tonight? Like whether, you know, hey, we might actually pull this out.
I thought, to be honest with you, it was a 3-point game. Tennessee driving with the football. I thought the Vols were scoring there. Now, I must be naive. I think if Malone catches, that's at the 21-yard line there. If Malone catches that ball there, it's a different game. And I'm not trying to put anything on Malone. If Malone catches that ball early in the Florida game, it's a different game. And I am not, he's got to get better. If he's going to be the receiver that we expect him to be here, and he's just a kid, okay?
Yeah.
But I thought we'd score there. And, Bino, if we score there, it's a completely different game, obviously, the way we're playing defensively. Because if you'll notice, to that point in the game, they hadn't chosen to open the game up. It was only after that that they went up top and went for the kill. They went for the kill after that turnover, and they get credit from me for doing that.
Aggressive.
That was good stuff, man. That was good by them. Bino, you have a thought?
Yeah, I agree, Tony. I think it would have been a totally different game had Josh caught the football. But like Trey, as I watched us try to attack their defense with few answers, I felt like we were going to have a defensive score or a special team score. The only thing that made me think we really had an opportunity in the game was to fake field goal for a touchdown, because that was an unusual score. And I thought it was going to take one of those for us to win the game after seeing how bad they whipped us up front early.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember the last time Tennessee had a play like that, you know, on a fake field goal. That was very nice. Very fun to see that. But, you know, it is what it is. But, man, that was tough. That was just it's almost as much of a gut punch as the Florida game, but not quite as much. But I think we'll be all right. It's just one of those, oh, man. I'm not a big fan of the smoky gray uniforms either, but I just feel like with AJ and those silly-ass smoky gray uniforms, Tennessee's got a much better chance in this game, like just for the emotional standpoint. AJ Johnson means a lot, regardless of stats. I mean, that's a totally different game. That's huge.
I like your
behind him.
Hey, you know what? I like your descriptor of that whole smoky gray thing. Trying to tell me, I've been here too long, and Bino's been here longer than I've been here. Bino's been here longer than Red Clay. But I'll tell you this right now. For them to act like smoky gray has always been a school color, because you call them silly ass, that's a silly ass thing that they've tried to do with our fan base. And that is exactly right. That's silly. But you're right. I mean, as it turns out, tonight, this team, all that momentum, from the last 3 weeks was up in smoke, and you could see it early on. The body language of that football team, it was like something or somebody had just sucked the life right out of them. And I think it was Missouri's pass rush, but we didn't help matters. We were sleepwalking a little bit.
Yeah, we were. I mean, they have, you know, those two great ends and everything.
Oh, they're insane.
Every SEC champion that's ever won a national title in the last 20 years has had that. But,
yep.
You know, well, there's something about it, though. We just, Missouri was very beatable tonight. We're just not quite there yet. I'm not going to give them a ton of credit. It's one of